Thank you, Heather. Praise the Lord. What grace is this that the Lord Jesus would die on Calvary's cross for us? John chapter 1 this morning. We're going to kind of answer a question and teach a great truth at the same time. In John chapter 1, as we've read this morning, if you paid close attention to Genesis chapter 1, 1 through 5, and as you read John chapter 1, 1 through 5, if you think about it, they're almost exactly the same. But in John, we have Jesus introduced by a title that is hard to understand sometimes. In John chapter 1, Jesus is introduced as the Word. Jesus introduced as the Word. What a great title. We want to spend some time looking at this morning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then, if you look at verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So here we know that this person who is divine, who was with God, who was the creator of the universe, became flesh. That was Jesus. The Word was made flesh. The creator of the universe, the eternal God of heaven, God the Son, took upon Him human flesh. And of course, that is the very event that this time of year we celebrate. The marvelous thought that the God of the universe, the creator of all, the light of the world, the one who holds all things together, that He would be born through conception of the Holy Spirit and take upon Him human flesh, and that His deity would be robed with flesh. Amazing. That the God of heaven would condescend to this earth, this sin-cursed earth, to rescue us from our sin. And, you know, I encourage you to take time to take the Christmas hymns and just take a few minutes. And all of, so many of these great truths are right there. And even as I was... Pastor John was playing a Joy to the World. so many things. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. I mean, every one of these great hymns have great truths of the Bible that most people sing them and don't even know what they're singing. But it was the Lord Jesus. But His title is the Word. I want to spend some time this morning answering the question, why is Jesus called the Word? Why is Jesus called the Word? All right? And so... first of all, we're going to answer that by saying Jesus is called the Word Because he is the God of creation who brought to pass all things by his word. Genesis chapter 1 is an amazing thing. God is so great. It is beyond our comprehension, this great truth, but it is exactly so. Genesis 1 and verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And verse 7, and it was so. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. God said, and it was so. Jesus is the God of creation. And God created the worlds by the word of his mouth. So in John 1:1, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. Yes, the Word. And it's very clear. Genesis. God said, and it was so. Think about it. Think about it. I think about the Lord Jesus when he was on the earth. Let's look at a couple of places in the Bible. John chapter 5. Here's a lame man. Couldn't walk. And verse 8. And Jesus saith, or said unto him, rise up, take thy bed, and walk. What happened? And immediately the man was made whole. How was he made whole? Because Jesus said it. Look at a couple other places. Matthew chapter 8. This gives us a great insight into the faith of the centurion when he came to Jesus and his understanding of who Jesus was. Matthew chapter 8, in verse 5, I'll give you a moment to turn there. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, first book of the New Testament. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. A centurion is a military officer who was of certain rank and file, had 100 soldiers under him. And he said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed. He is grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. What is he saying? Jesus is the God of all authority. All he has to do is say it, and it's done. Because all the world, all creation is subject unto him. And so, what happens? And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to him that followeth, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and thou, as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. All you have to do is say it. You're the God of heaven. You're the God of your creation. You're the God of all authority. All you have to do, say it. Just as in creation, all he did was say it. Here's a amazing truth, Revelation chapter 19. No wonder there is such an attack on the Bible, because Jesus is the Word. Revelation chapter 19. Why is Jesus called the Word? Because he is the God who created the worlds by the breath of his mouth. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15. Here we have a future event in which the Lord Jesus returns to destroy the armies of the Antichrist, who are set to destroy the people of God. And we can read the whole chapter, but we're only going to read a couple verses. We'll read verses 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, speaking of his crucifixion. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Bible says, taking the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. With his mouth, with the words of his mouth. That's what it's saying. All those nations who oppose him will be destroyed. Jesus is the Word. He is the God of creation. He who brought the worlds to pass by his words. He is the God who all he needs to do is say it, and it is done. The Word. That's not the only reason Jesus is called the Word. The second reason is because Jesus is the revealer of the Father. He is the revealer of the Father. In John chapter 1 and verse 18, over and over, Jesus said, If you know me, you know my Father. If you know my Father, you would receive me. John chapter 1 and verse 18. And we see this great verse. We read it this morning. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus, came to this earth to declare the Father, so men might know God the Father. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, who is begotten of flesh, who took upon him human flesh, robed his deity in flesh, he has declared him. Jesus is the revealer of the Father. John chapter 8. Verse 42. Jesus said to him, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. If God were your Father, you would love me. Look at a couple other verses. Look at John chapter 5 and verse 17. And this is in the context. The context is the Jews said, oh, we know God. We know him. But you, we reject. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you reject me, it's because you don't know the Father. If you know the Father, then you would hear my words. And so, notice these great truths. John chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus answered them, said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. I work. Now, they said, God, Jesus, we're rejecting you because you healed this man on the Sabbath day. And what did he say to them? He said, not exactly like this, but he kind of said it like this. The God that you have that won't heal on the Sabbath day isn't the God of the Bible. Because God the Father, every day, is holding the world together, isn't he? Every day, God, even on the Sabbath day, is blessing and working. And Jesus said, I'm the same as the Father. He heals on the Sabbath day, and I heal on the Sabbath. And the God that you know that says he won't heal on a Sabbath day, that's not the God of the Bible. Now you think about it. Aren't you glad that God heals on the Sabbath day? Now we realize that Sunday isn't the Sabbath day. It's the first day we commemorate the day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But man, you know what? Most people who get saved... get saved on us. If there's any one day of the week that people get saved, it's Sunday. And you know, when you come to church, aren't you glad God's working? He works in hearts. He works in lives. And so he said, John chapter 14, the works that I do show you who God is. John chapter 14, verse 11. It says, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Believe me for the very work's sake. You know, Jesus showed that he was a creator. He gave sight to the blind. He made the lame to walk. He caused the dumb to be able to speak. He caused the deaf to be able to hear. He forgave sin. He gave strength to the impotent. He gave victory over demons. His works showed that He was showed us the God of heaven. He was the good Samaritan. The priest, the Levite, saw the man injured, beaten up, left for dead. The religious leaders couldn't care for his soul, but Jesus cared for his soul. The God of heaven. Nathanael was told about Jesus. And Nathanael says, "Can there any good thing come out of Galilee?" And he came to Jesus, and Jesus said to Nathanael, "When you were under the fig tree, I saw you." I saw you. I am the omniscient God. I am the omnipresent God. I am everywhere at once, even though robed in human flesh. Notice his words. John 14 and verse 10. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works." The words that I speak, these are the words of God the Father. Turn with me to John chapter 17. Verse 8 says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and I have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Verse 14, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Jesus is the revealer of the Father. He revealed the Father in His life. He revealed the Father in His works. He revealed the Father in His words. The great Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, "The law has said, thou shalt not kill." And Jesus said, "But I say unto you, if you are angry in your heart, without cause, you have committed murder already in your heart." Jesus is revealer of the Father. He is the revealer of God to man. That's why He's called the Word. The third reason that Jesus called the Word is because Jesus is the God of the Bible. Jesus is the Jesus of the Bible. Now that's a very important statement. Now let's look at some things in the Bible that are very interesting that make this comparison. First of all, let's think about this phrase, the Word. Okay? If you can, turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 119. In verse 89. Throughout the Bible is called the Word. Okay? When we read the Bible, We are reading the Word of God. And you know, we don't really think that way, so maybe we would put it this way. When we are reading the Bible, we are reading the words of God. Maybe that makes it more understandable. The Bible is called the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 89. It says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Oh, you know what it means? I mean, number one, it's using the word as a representation of the Bible. The Bible is represented by the phrase "the Word." And the Bible makes it very clear that God not only gave us the Bible, but the Bible is eternally preserved and it will be in heaven. Thy word, is forever settled in heaven. All right? And we could go a number of verses that we aren't going to tonight, this morning, but the Bible is called the Word. Turn with me to Isaiah 40, and we'll quickly look there and see how the Bible uses that idea of the Word of God, the Bible, as the Word. Verse 8, 7 and 8 of Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verses 7 and 8. Just a few books past the Psalms there. "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." The Bible is using the fact of the frailty and the shortness of life is represented by grass. Just like grass, the grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So Jesus is called the Word, because Jesus is the God of the Bible. Jesus is the God who gave us the Bible. Jesus is the God who gave us the Bible. So first of all, he is the Jesus as revealed in the Bible. I want to say that again. He is the Jesus that is revealed in the Bible. Now, our country is becoming Bible illiterate. And now, because of the lack of understanding of the Bible, more and more people, when you talk about Jesus, you don't know if they're talking about the same Jesus that you're talking about. You don't know. There's only one Jesus. There's only one real Jesus. There's only one Jesus that saves. There's only one Jesus that gave you eternal life. That's the Jesus of the Bible. Now, let me put it in a different context. There's a mission agency called New Tribes Missions. And for years, they have gone to tribes lost in the jungles with no contact with the outside world. And they've gone to these tribes, many of them no written language, never seen a white man before, never had any contact with the outside world. They've gone to these tribes, and very, very, many of them very savage, dark, very evil, very fearful place to live if you were a woman or a child. and even a man. They've gone to these people and they've gone and they've to spread the word about Jesus. And they found that they would tell these people about Jesus and they would gladly accept him. But it didn't last. And when something bad would come up, they'd go right back to their evil spirits. And they began to think, you know, there's something, we're missing something. They don't understand, they don't think like we. Their idea of God is different than the God of the Bible. And so they said, we got to come up with a plan. He says, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to teach these people the Bible from Genesis all the way through the book, the whole Bible, and we're going to teach them through the New Testament, and then we're going to take them to the New Testament and the birth of Christ and the teachings of Christ and then the crucifixion and then the resurrection, and then we're going to, then after we taught them all the truth about who Jesus really is, now we're going to say, wouldn't you like to accept Jesus Christ and be saved? And then they really got saved. They really got converted. Because now they know who Jesus is. The Jesus of the Bible. Do you know that the Bible makes that analogy? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul is saying, you know, there's the Jesus of the Bible, and then there's other Jesuses. And I'll try to explain that to you in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4. It says, here's the context, I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit of which we have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might bear well with him. If you had received another, they preached another Jesus. So what was happening? Apostle Paul preached about Jesus who died, buried, rose again. But the Gnostics came and they preached a Jesus that only looked like he was born. Who only looked like he died. But he wasn't really human flesh. You know, that Jesus doesn't save. That Jesus doesn't save. There's only one Jesus that saves. It's the Jesus of the Bible. And that is why he is called the Word. He is the Jesus that is revealed by the Bible. There's a cult that's coming around. They don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. There's a cult that believes that Jesus used to be an angel. And that somehow he became a little God at his incarnation. And I don't know how that fits, because the Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But they'll come and knock on your door and they say, we've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But their Jesus isn't the creator of their world. Their Jesus used to be an angel, a creation of God, and somehow he became a little God at his incarnation. That's not Jesus of the Bible. But they'll say, oh, we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. You see, that's another Jesus. That's not Jesus of the Bible. That Jesus won't save anybody, because that Jesus didn't die on the cross. And so, the Bible makes it very clear. He is the Jesus revealed in the Word of God. Notice in Revelation chapter 19, we read this. And I think this is, my personal opinion, is that this really goes along with the confusion and the deception of the last days. The Antichrist will come claiming to be Christ, the false Messiah, etc., etc., and multitudes will follow him. Revelation 19:13, it identifies who this person is who's coming on a white horse to defeat Satan and all his armies. It says, and he was clothed with a white vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. There's one Jesus. He's the creator of the universe. He spoke, and the worlds came into existence. Jesus, in the providence and mercy of God, he took upon human flesh to become our substitute so he could die in our place on Calvary's cross. He came to reveal to us the holiness of God. You know, God is holy. God is so holy. He had to send his son to die on a cross for our sin. He couldn't just say, oh, forget it. Ah, no problem. No, God is so holy and just. His righteousness had to be perfectly fulfilled. The penalty for sin had to be perfectly fulfilled. No man could do it. You and I can't do it by good works. We have a holy God whose wrath and righteousness and righteous law must be perfectly fulfilled. And so he had to send his son, the Lord Jesus, to die on Calvary's cross as the perfect sacrifice for our sin. And so in Jesus we see the holiness of God. In Jesus we see the love of God. Because God is holy, he had to send his son. And so we see now, but God commendeth or showed his love for us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord Jesus reveals God to us. That is why he's called the Word. Jesus is the God of the Bible. He is the only Jesus, the Jesus that is revealed in the Bible. But Jesus also is called the Word because God has a special relationship through his Word with his children. John chapter 5, if you'll turn there, and verse 38. And if you're saved, you'll understand this truth. If you've not yet gotten saved, this might be a little bit confusing to you. Here is Jesus. He's being rejected by the Jewish people. And verse 37, Jesus said, "And the Father himself, with that sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not." What a statement. He said, now, You don't recognize me. You don't believe in me. You won't receive me. You reject me. And the reason you reject me is because you do not have His Word abiding in you. You don't know the Bible. The truth of the Bible is not filling your mind and your soul. You don't have a relationship with God through His Word. That's what He's saying. You don't have a relationship with God through His Word. What is He saying? He's saying people who have a relationship with God, the Word of God abides in them. I remember a dear lady one time said to me, you know, my son got saved. And I went to visit him. And you know, every morning they'd open up the Bible. And they would individually read the Bible. And she said, you know, I thought that was so strange. Every day, start the day reading the Bible. I thought, oh, that is really different. But you know, when I got saved, now I understood it. Because now, every day, I start my day reading God's Word. Now think of these words of the Lord. John 15 and verse 5. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide in me not, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You know what? The Lord Jesus is talking about the unique relationship that we have with Jesus, the Word, who has given us the Word, the Bible. And Jesus said of the Bible, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. When a person gets saved, they meet and have a relationship with God every day in the Bible. The Bible is the food for their soul. The Bible is the convictor, the light that shows them what is wrong in their life. The Bible is that truth that shows them the way they ought to go. The Bible is the truth that the Holy Spirit uses to correct their errors. The Bible is the truth that encourages them about the promises of God that they can claim. The Word of God is that place where a true Christian has daily fellowship with a living God. You know, I got saved. Before I was saved, I tried to read the Bible a couple times. And didn't last too long. I remember when I was in eighth grade, we had a reading contest. And they had all the classics on there. Moby Dick, Tale of Two Cities, I mean the whole list. And I read almost all of them. I don't know, there's just tons of them. And they're all big, thick ones too. And you got the most points if you'd read the Bible. And I wanted to win that contest. And man, Bible, I'd read all these other books, and one of the books I hadn't read was the Bible, and that had the most points. And I remember picking up the Bible. Maybe I read a page or two, and I said, oh, I can't understand a word of what this is talking about. You know why? I didn't know the God of the Bible. I didn't know the God of the Bible. And of course, by the grace of God, I was influenced to start reading the Bible and know where to read the Bible and began to think about its truth, and I was saved October 31st, 1968. And I remember picking up the Bible shortly after that and reading somewhere in John, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And I remember reading that and I about jumped out of my seat. Because you know what? I said, now I know what it's talking about. I know what it means to believe. I know the God who said, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." The Bible says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." The Bible is food for the soul for the newborn Christian. It's soul food. It's where a Christian meets the Lord. It's where the Holy Spirit shows them sin in their life. It's where the Holy Spirit leads them in the path of righteousness. It's where the Holy Spirit takes the truths of God's Word and convicts them and shows them what is right. It's the word of truth that now you can know what is right. I just read the statement of a religious leader, a big religious leader. And he said, "You can't know the truth. There is no truth. God is just a God of love." That is 100% opposite of what the Bible says when it says Jesus is the Word. Isn't it great that you can know God? He has given us the Bible so you can know Him. He's given us the Bible so we can know the truth. You know, our world is in such a mess today because people don't have any idea what the truth is. And they can listen to some person and follow their philosophy and ruin their whole life, and when it's all over, die and be in eternity lost. Because they don't know the truth. Especially in this day and deception that we live in which God is being banned from society. And God is being banned from our government. God is being banned from our schools. God is being banned from Christmas. Can you believe it? World has no idea where they're going, what they're doing. But Jesus is the Word. He's given us the truth. And through that truth, we can know Him. And we can receive Him as our Savior. And we can be born again. And then this book becomes an open book. And it's a place where we meet God with on a daily basis. As you share the gospel about Jesus, remember, there's a lot of Jesuses out there. But there's only one that saves. Make sure you tell people and they know who the Jesus of the Bible is. If you are a close observer, I find that most people who come and hear the Bible preached over and over, that they are the ones who make a real decision that lasts because they know who the real Jesus is. We live in a day of deception. You know, most people, when they think of Jesus, they think of something other than the Jesus of the Bible. And I'm trying to wrap it up here, but, you know, one day, one night, years ago, I think it was a Sunday night, the only Sunday night that we ever canceled service. We had a snowstorm, and there's no way anybody could have gotten down our driveway. That's when the church was meeting the parsonage for this building was here. And so I thought, well, let's do something spiritual tonight. And I'm not exactly sure if that was the situation, but the TV had something about Abraham on there. They had a movie about the Bible. I thought, well, let me see what this is about. I watched it for about 5 minutes. And it was about Abraham and Isaac. And to that point, I'd probably read what the Bible said about Abraham and Isaac maybe 100 times. Maybe more. But as I looked at that, watched that Hollywood movie, I said this to myself. I've read the Bible hundreds of times about this, and the whole thing scores of times perhaps. I never, ever, ever would have gotten what this movie said Abraham was like as what the Bible says he was like. Most people's idea of God is what they saw in a movie. And it's very distorted. In fact, if you listen to one of them, they had Jesus baptizing John the Baptist rather than John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. I mean, don't trust Hollywood. They're going to twist it. And if you listen to too many of these Hollywood movies, even about the Bible, you're going to have to read the Bible 5 or 10 times to get your mind straightened out. So we live in a day of deception. But lastly, I just want to put it this way. You say you're a Christian? You say you're walking with God? But you don't read your Bible? You spend 5 minutes, maybe you're a great Christian, you spend 5 minutes in the Bible. Really? 5 minutes? 5 minutes? If my words abide in you, and you abide in me, does that sound like that? I heard a man one time say, I go to one of these big mega churches. And you know what? I dare say that most people don't even bring their Bible to church. Nonetheless, even read the Bible from church Sunday to Sunday. Huh? Jesus is the Word. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's where we meet God. That's where he shows us the truth about ourselves and about life. This is the light of God. A Christian? Very little time in the Bible. Jesus is the Word. That's where we meet Him. That's where we build our relationship with Him. Isn't it amazing? That mystical, feeling-oriented music is replacing the Bible. And I didn't want to pollute the church this morning. And I didn't really have time to fulfill my thought. But I thought, what if we played a couple measures of a great choir singing, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And ask people, is that the God that you know? Reverent, holy, mighty. And then take one of these rock songs. Boom, 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 boom. And say, which Jesus do you know? You see, the Jesus of the Bible, in that illustration, would be revealed by "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." But if a person doesn't know their Bible, they could stomach the other. Do you know Jesus? You know the best way to find Jesus? Start reading your Bible. Start reading your Bible. He's the Word. That's where you find Him. You're a Christian? You want to walk with Him? You want to get your life changed on the right path? Get back into the Bible. Meet with God in the Bible on a daily basis. Not 5 minutes. Not 2 minutes. Not 10 minutes. Get into God's Word. He's the God of the Bible. He'll meet you there. Your life will be changed. Give people the God of the Bible. That's the Jesus that saves. Three reasons Jesus is called the Word: because He is the God of creation, who brought the worlds to pass by the word of His mouth. Jesus is called the Word because He is the revealer of the Father. Jesus is called the Word because Jesus is the God who gave the Bible, and He is the God of the Bible. Is that the Jesus that you know? You know for sure that your faith is based on the Bible, not on what some religion says or what some man says. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the opportunity. Thank You, Lord, that we can take this time to be reminded that You, in Your love, allowed us the privilege to know You by giving us the Bible. And Lord, we thank You that we in this country, perhaps more than any other country in the world, have the greatest opportunity to find a Bible, to read a Bible, to go to a place where the Bible is taught, Lord, and to learn about Jesus Christ. And I pray that, Lord, that we would take advantage of that. And Lord, may each Christian today be challenged about the truth, about what their relationship with God really is, and it is really seen by their relationship with the God of the Bible. How they read it, how they meditate on it, how they obey it, how they think on it, how they allow its truths to mold their mind and their life, how they implement it in their family, how they put it into their life by how they live. Lord, use these truths in our lives. Our heads are bowed and eyes closed. You hear today and you say, you know what?